This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The two mega sporting events starting today. Roy will put on his shin guards. Now, here's all I care about. All I care about behind the scenes is deciding how much time to spend on both. Because all I care about is ratings. That's it. If the ratings are good, I'm in a good mood. The ratings are bad, I'm in a bad mood. So, like, I'm trying to figure out how much time, how much you are going to watch the World Cup, especially with the U.S. in it, and how much you are going to watch the U.S. Open. My gut feeling is that the U.S. Open will win out. Golf does very well in the Metroplex. You have a mega tournament. They've been previewing it all week. Jordan Spieth is starting off right now with Phil Mickelson. And, of course, you have the storyline of Tiger Woods. So, with that said,
there's no U.S. in the World Cup, too.
As I just said 1 minute ago.
Did you say that?
I did. With that said, we'll turn it over. We do have, though, the two best weapons at the station to cover it. With apologies to Kevin Turner, who is live tweeting this right now. RJ Choppy on golf, Roy White on soccer. So, Chop, tell us why we need to watch and the storylines of what's happening right now.
Well, you need to watch because it's the biggest sporting event going on. Sorry, Roy. It's the last great national sporting event until, I don't know, what NFL football starts. I mean, you got baseball games. You've got a British Open. Nobody cares.
Keyword being national.
Yeah.
Not international or global.
Right, or global. But there's no U.S. in there, and if there's no U.S. in there, it doesn't really happen. That's kind of how the world works. This is the U.S. Open. This is the national championship. It's the greatest test of golf. And that is just one of the many reasons you need to watch. This is also the greatest U.S. Open golf course there is. And we have seen this week storylines like Tiger Woods on a 150-foot yacht taking a dinghy to the golf course. And, you know, the fact that there's 2.5 to 3 hour drives to get to this course from the homes that people are renting, the hotels they're staying in, because these are all one-lane back roads, and it's just like you're going back in time to get to this place. Tiger Woods on the golf range solo yesterday, or the other day, in the driving rain. It's pouring rain out, and here comes Tiger Woods. He's the only one out there. It's a, you know, it's just a testament to the fact that he's trying to get back to where he was in 2008 when he last won a U.S. Open, his last major. He's the last favorite to win the U.S. Open. That was a decade ago. It was his greatest golf achievement ever. He had a broken leg and a torn ACL, and here he is playing four rounds plus a full 18-hole playoff plus another one-hole playoff after that. So this is the only time since 2004 that the U.S. owns all four major championships at one point. Brooks, Reed, Spieth, and Justin Thomas. They own all four major championships. There's some really cool holes you got to watch out for on here. Number 7 is a brutal green. Last time this thing was played here, they watered the 7th green in the middle of the round because nothing could hold it. It was so difficult, they had to water it. Now, hopefully they won't make that mistake this time. They've done some differences with the fairways. They thought they were too wide at Aaron Hills last year. They've shrunk them up a little bit. 9, 10, 11 is the Amen Corner. We have Amen Corner at Augusta, 11, 12, 13. Here, it's 9, 10, 11. Those are brutal golf holes. The 11th hole is a par 3 that actually plays like a par 5. It's so difficult if the winds are right. You've got to be able to score on those three. We've already seen Jordan Spieth on hole number 2 be victim of not, you have a 6 to 8 foot spot to land the golf ball, and he didn't. And he went over, he went past the pin all the way down the ridge, came back up, rolled all the way back down. And here he is, another one. He's on another hole, and he's 35 feet away already. It's been a really rough start for Jordan Spieth. But we all know it's about Tiger. And if it's not about Tiger, it's about Phil, who's six runner-ups at the U.S. Open trying to get his first. And these are the two biggest names of the last 20 years in golf, without question. And here's Phil looking for his first U.S. Open, and here's Tiger looking for his 15th major. And whether or not they get it is a different story.
McIlroy now has, he just missed a par putt, so he's already a plus two. He's about to have a bogey attempt. Not close, not very close to the hole.
Going into this hole.
Not a gimme.
Yeah, no. Going into this hole, Phil, Rory, Spieth were a combined plus eight going into this hole. This is the fourth hole.
And the U.S. Open people are loving that.
They're loving it. The U.S. Open, the USGA, which runs this, and this is going to be on Fox. This is the one on Fox. You know, these guys are kind of sadistic when it comes to golf. They would rather have plus five win than five under. And whether or not that's right or wrong, that's kind of the way they have created these courses to be.
Well done.
Thank you.
And you did it in half the segment. Proper time.
I wanted to get done by eight after. Look at that.
Well done. Now, maybe the more difficult challenge, Roy White, on why you should be watching the World Cup.
It is a more difficult challenge, Sean, because how do you encapsulate the global game into just 8 minutes? I will do my best. And I appreciate RJ taking a nationalistic approach, reminding you that the U.S. has all four major tournaments. That's all well and good. But I can give you a United States-like experience in the World Cup, and you can have just as much fun doing it, all right? I encourage you this weekend, enjoy the U.S. Open all weekend long, because after that, the World Cup will take over for the next month. Now, there are four teams, by and large, who are considered the odds-on favorites for this tournament. That would be Brazil, Germany, France, and they were thought to be Spain. Before they sent their head coach after he announced he was taking over the Real Madrid job, the confederation in charge of the national team didn't like that, and so they dismissed him as a result. That has thrown some upheaval into Spain's plans heading into Friday's game against Portugal, their first game of the tournament. But they have the best goaltender in the world going right now. It's not even close in David De Gea. They still have the attacking line, and they still have the generational type of talent in Andres Iniesta that can give them a World Cup performance like they've seen. They're also winners of recent Euro championships, which show they can play on the great stage. Obviously, France is talented enough. They could field two teams, go to the World Cup, and probably do just as well. The problem is they oftentimes play down when their talent level says they should produce more than they should. Brazil, as creative as any team in the tournament, they've got young stars in Neymar and Gabriel Jesus, who people are in love with, and these guys will be incredibly talented. They'll take over the world stage. The questions will be, do they have the back line that's secure enough to keep them from getting blasted like they did in the quarterfinals against Germany? 7-1 they lost on their own home turf, and people in Rio de Janeiro are still crying over that loss. Brazil trying to get over that, and of course...
So Neymar is the one who got hurt last time, right? And isn't he supposed to be, like, the next?
Yes, Neymar, by and large, is considered by a lot of people to be...
Who's the third best player in the tournament?
So... Obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, and then it's a wide-open debate. Neymar is considered amongst the best players in the tournament. Mohamed Salah, the English Premier League goal scorer, and the guy who led Liverpool to the UEFA Championship final, only to have to leave that game because of a broken shoulder. He's likely to play for Egypt. He's another great player in this tournament. Obviously, the likes of Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard for Belgium have to be in that conversation as well, but it's kind of wide open.
And a great talker for LA Galaxy now, Ibrahimovic is not in this?
Ibrahimovic is not in this tournament.
All right.
Not playing in this tournament for Sweden. We'll get to that in just a little bit.
What?
So we name the four teams that can absolutely win it all. These four teams have combined for six of the last seven titles that have been won in the tournament. Now let's get to the teams that can win it all with the talent that they have, but have some glaring weaknesses. Argentina, Portugal, Belgium, Uruguay, and England. Now, of those group, Uruguay and Argentina are the only ones to have won a World Cup at some point. England, surprisingly, has not won, I think, in 70 years. And for some reason, they have all the talent in the world as well. But much like France, they don't seem to come together as well when the big stage is set. I kind of expect the same type of thing from them. They have a great score in Harry Kane, tons of talent in this guy, and they're the only team that called all of their players from the same league. All their players played in the English Premier League this past season. Obviously, you mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo in Portugal. He's good enough as one man to lead them to a World Cup. You've already seen him do it when his team won the 2016 Euros, and they could do the same thing.
So if Ronaldo and Messi still in their prime, like, are we looking at fading or like the top level game right now?
This will likely be both of their final tournaments in the World Cup.
But right now, are they at the top of their games? You could still consider them?
You could still consider them at the top of their games. They're certainly at the top of the soccer world because it is one and two as to who is your favorite and everybody else is behind them.
And is there a blemish or a who's someone in sports who hasn't won big, you know? Like,
yeah, for both of them, that's it. The World Cup is it.
Is a stain on both of their resumes?
Absolutely. Now, for Messi, it's a little bit unfair. Messi has played.
What do you mean still? They haven't won it.
He's played in two World Cup finals. He's scored in neither, and he's been a bit of a letdown. When you compare him to the national stars of the Diego Maradonas, who are the all-time great Argentinian players, you can't be considered amongst that in that country unless you win a World Cup. And unfortunately, he hasn't done that. They have all the firepower to do so. They've got a great attacking line. But the questions are with that defense and how they will hold up against the teams like Germany, like Brazil, who stay compact and don't give up a lot of goals on their own side. Belgium is my dark horse favorite to win the tournament. I love this team. They got a ton of talent in Eden Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne, their back line. If Vincent Kompany comes back, their back line is arguably the best back line of all the teams in the tournament. Thibaut Courtois, their goaltender, could be heading to Real Madrid this offseason. Tremendous goaltender for Chelsea. They have pretty much everything you could ask for. The only thing is that they don't have is the experience at the later stages. And then, of course, Uruguay, they won a tournament. They won the World Cup back in 1950. It's been a long time since they've won it, but they do have Luis Suarez, who's trying to make a mark in the national game. You'll remember him as the famous guy who got sent off in the last tournament for biting an opponent. Bit opponent in the shoulder. In the tournament before that, he got sent off for a red card that drew a penalty kick. His team actually ended up advancing in that tournament, but he was still carted off and did not play anymore in that tournament. On to, finally, the teams that I consider to have the American dream. All right. This is a group of six teams that I've selected that if you want an American like experience, all right.
What does that mean? Coming up short.
And here's what I'm saying. When I think of that, an underdog whose expectation is hopefully to advance a game or two into the knockout stage. And, you know, in your wildest dreams, maybe you can win the tournament. These are the types of up-and-coming countries that I think you can root for and get an American-like feel where you're still rooting for an underdog. You're not rooting for one of the super powerhouses. You're still getting the American experience, in my opinion. So those six teams are Mexico, and I will be rooting for our brothers down south because they got a fantastically skilled team. Croatia, Luka Modric in the middle, Mario Mandzukic up top. They have some really good, talented players on that Croatian side. Colombia, you might remember James Rodriguez, who burst onto
Andres
the scene.
Andres Escobar,
a couple years ago. Not Andres Escobar, but good call by you. Senegal, Serbia, and as I mentioned already, Croatia. So five teams, rather. Mexico, Senegal, Croatia, Serbia, Colombia. If you want an American-like experience, everybody else listed could provide some entertainment. The Nigerias of the world, of course, you got to check out their uniforms. Best uniforms of the tournament, the Super Eagles. But outside of that, everybody else will be playing for hopes to get out of the group stage.
Well done, boys. Wow, split the time dead even. The knowledge, the passion. Which one of you will sacrifice more sleep?
Oh, I won't sacrifice any sleep.
Oh, so you're not going to power through to watch all the live golf? You usually do.
Oh, no. My nap comes before.
What?
Yeah, I'm not missing my nap for this.
This thing, you just did a whole thing. It's like the biggest thing going. Roy will skip his.
It's 2 hours. I can see what they did.
Dub?
I definitely am not skipping anything regards to the World Cup, but that's because most of the time it will be on in our studio. Yeah. The games will be played anywhere between 7 o'clock and 2 o'clock our time.
We need
Central
a sounder.
Time.
We need something.
And by the way, that's probably one of the best reasons why. They're on during the day. What else are you going to do? There's no other sporting event going on.
We need something like a sounder to celebrate the goals. Maybe RJ can have like a par sounder. We can have
it's the ball going into the cup.
Yeah, the cup drop.
And then Roy, we need these random interruptions of explosion whenever someone scores, since we can have the games during our show for a change.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.